Hey, I'm Jake Brennan, and I want to tell you about Disgraceland, the award-winning music and true crime podcast that I host. Disgraceland tells the stories of musicians getting away with murder and behaving very badly. Fleetwood Mac, Nipsey Hussle, Cardi B, Ozzy Osbourne, Taylor Swift, Tupac, The Beatles, Amy Winehouse, Jay-Z, The Grateful Dead, and so many more. This is not the music history you've heard before. This is an uncensored, immersive look at the lives of musical icons as seen through the crimes they've committed or that have been perpetrated against them. Did Jerry Lee Lewis murder his fifth wife? What really happened to Sam Cooke in that seedy motel at 3 a.m.? And how did the Rolling Stones wind up sleeping with the First Lady? Wait, what? New episodes of Disgraceland drop every Tuesday with bonus episodes released on Mondays and Thursdays. So get in, buckle up, and join me in Disgraceland. Available right now, wherever you get your podcasts. Rock and roll.
Tired of you leaving me. You couldn't have left chasing me around. Love like a ghost. Watch your disease.
Wow.
We love that line, don't we? On the back of all that real, really deep cutting stuff, you get hopping and bopping. I was waiting for you to go second on that line, Lol.
Flipping and flopping and hipping.
There we go.
Hi, this is Lol Tolhurst, co-founder of The Cure.
And this is Budgie, co-founder of The Creatures, drummer with The Slits, and Susie and the Banshees.
Welcome to Curious Creatures.
Life after punk.
You may think you know the territory, but we drew the map.
Welcome to another Curious Creatures special, which is going to feature myself, Budgie, and my co-partner in crime, Lol Tolhurst. Let's see, we're discussing this evening a track from our current album, Los Angeles, our first album, Los Angeles, and a track from it, which has a vocal by none other than Bobby Gillespie. He's a guest in spirit only, and who started his musical career in a little Scottish outfit called Jesus and Mary Jane. The Jesus and Mary Jane.
Right, and then I think he went on to something else. Right, is there something else now?
Another little band, yes.
Primal Scream. Right?
The Primal Scream. We're going to dip into some anecdotes and dip into some little, maybe some secrets about the essence of Ghosted at Home, featuring the voice of Bobby Gillespie.
And here is our dissertation.
It's a track that we've recently done a video rendition of, which I'm sure some of you may have caught. Lol.
Yeah.
Should we just go straight into it? You know, this is really going to be a breakdown of, how the song came about to its present format.
Yeah. I suppose we should start at the beginning, because that beginning, very good place to start.
It's always a great intro.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah. The beginning of it starts with the strange drum sound out in the middle of somewhere.
It was Yosemite.
Yes, it was. It was a beautiful place to be.
It's the magic. It was basically the spirit and magic of it. That this is where it all came from. It wasn't the start of, you know, the process, but it was the first recording we did. It was an ambient recording over a stream.
Yeah.
With a Native American drum presented to us by a lady of similar origin.
Yeah, yeah. You know what today is as well? It's very important to this, because today is Indigenous Peoples Day in America. So it's a celebration of all of that.
It was a very simple process of just finding the spot and saying, this is it, let's record this. And we just kind of, you can hear the sound of kind of footsteps on gravel, which kind of gravel path we were on. And you hear that kind of shuffling gravel sound, and you hear the drum go boom, boom. We had no idea what it was going to lead to, but then led to this kind of composite drum percussion loop. Just as Jack Knife has explained in several interviews now, it's his need for to have sound coming out of, not coming out of, quiet. He likens it to a painter in front of a blank canvas or a writer in front of the blank page. And it's almost like scribble something down, put something in there to make it a bit messy and noisy, so you don't feel like you're stepping onto it, like you're making the first footprint on an alien planet, you know. What do you think of that?
Right, yeah, no, I think it's very good.
Anyway, we had this track, right?
Yeah.
And everything's kind of rushing along. There's not a lot of definite structure to it. And it was just happened to be one of three tracks. When we hit lockdown, and I had to go back to Berlin, and there was like discussions as to how we should proceed, and Bobby's name came up, Bobby. So Jack and I sent Bobby three potential, you know, three ideas, all with strange working titles. Do you remember what the title of this was? Was it Lima Topanga?
I don't remember what the title of this was for. Maybe this was like...
Is that you, Lol? It's a great impersonation of a small dog. So that's the track we sent to Bobby, and what we got back was Bobby suddenly, you know, turning out like not one song but three, ghosted at home, or ghosted as we're already familiarizing ourselves with it. It's a funny one to talk about. For me, it kind of almost it landed, and I was just blown by it, because of course it's kind of, I don't know if it was the first one that was really developed. But it was the one. It was certainly Bobby's contribution that changed it from being an instrumental project to an instrumental album with maybe a couple of songs with lyrics.
Right.
We ended up with more than that, but it could easily have just been Bobby at one point.
Just it could have been a handful of stuff and that. So it kind of expanded. So then I remember distinctly Bobby said to us, and I won't attempt to do a Scottish accent. So Bobby said to us,
"That'd be dangerous.
It would be dangerous." And have you got any lyrics for me for this? And we said, "Well, we would like you to utilize your own ideas and lyrics on it. Here's kind of where it was done, how we did it. You know, think of something and surprise us. You know," which he did.
Yeah.
And the lyrics very. Intense, I think, about, well, it seems about a relationship, and you had some thoughts on that.
Well, I know that you know, when I got back here and you were saying the album sounds great, it was always that, you know, and you were listening to it a lot. I wasn't, not because I didn't want to, it's just I didn't have the space available. Life was full on, you know, with lockdown and everything else. I dip into it every now and then as we had like some kind of new words or new lyrics appeared or some additional thing came in. But usually I don't get so deeply into lyrics. You do, right? You're
Yeah, I like lyrics. I like words, really, is what I like.
So, you know, I use lyrics as cues. I'm not too bothered, like, what key, you know, what's the chord progression. I kind of get that. I just memorize all this stuff. And lyrics usually give me pointers as to how I'm going to play.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. That's exactly the same. For me, with The Cure, I always played drums to Robert's voice. I didn't play it to anything else, yeah.
So if there was a kind of, you know, punctuation, a double kind of bump word or something, or this would give me an idea of how to phrase around it. Interestingly, with this track, it's we you know, quite a lot of stuff was done before the vocals arrived. So it's very much that the track was cut to Bobby's lyrics and the way I love the way he phrases things. I love the time after the way he leans on everything, and because Bobby's began as a drummer, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he was totally. That's where he started. He was drummer and Jesus and Mary Chain.
Yeah, we have a lot of drummers.
No, it's all drummers, and like I often like to say, it's like all drummers are friends.
And everyone's a drummer.
And everyone's a drummer, right.
Yeah.
There you go, it includes everybody then. And all music is drums. All music is drums.
Our love is dead, our race is run, looks like you've won. Can't kind of play with fate, love turned to hate, one of us changed, one stayed the same. It was only when I started to, like, you know, have the time and the space to really hear the words. We were doing the video, and we Bobby couldn't be in the video. And so we decided we'd just maybe film ourselves playing, and we were in separate parts. I was still here in Berlin. I thought, well, okay, might need some lip sync, so I'll be brave and point the iPhone at myself. And that's so I had to kind of get the words down. And that's when it hit me, you know. That's when it hit me, like, I don't know if Bobby's singing about personal experience, but he was singing my personal experience. One of us changed, one stayed the same. It's not like a truth. It's just my feeling of, you know, my story of recent times anyway. There's Ghosted at Home. I wouldn't have even thought of the phrase, but how true it rings in many ways, because in many ways the breakup of my long-standing relationship, you know, which a lot of people listening would know about, or not, they wouldn't know about the breakup, they'd know about a long-standing relationship, was embodied. It certainly was embodied in the lyric that Bobby's presented us with, and it really, you know, when it's a bit like when somebody's telling you a story and you realize it, and it's something that's personal to them, and you recognize it, you have an empathy with the story, and it moves you so deeply that you kind of stop and think, this can't be, they must, you know, this, they can't have had a similar experience. That's not possible.
Well, I think in a way it's like he's speaking for every man in a way, or every woman, you know.
I love the way it's not just one way either. The eternal pain, heart full of shame, stuck with disease, down on my knees. And it gets into ambiguity, you know, she's my addiction, my crucifixion. Is that the person who's changed or stayed the same, rather?
Oh, yeah.
Head full of noise, a spill of blood. Wedding betrayal hangs like a curse. Wow, that's a killer line. I described myself when I was living in France. I described one night, I recall, just being so demoralized, not by another person, but my own feeling of inadequacy and how I felt unable to connect in any way to the place I was in and the relationship I was in. And again, this is not casting out blame to the other person, but it was just that, you know, my nervous system collapsing like buildings. I describe myself as like where I come from, St. Helens, they have coal pits, you know, like where they dig in deep for coal. And it was just that. I described my feeling was like, I was like a coal seam, you know, a shaft dug for collecting coal, and it's held up, the ceiling is held up by wooden props. These are the old pictures I remember seeing as a kid. And it was like as if somebody gone down there and they would like taken a huge mallet to each of the wooden props in sequence, and the whole thing was collapsing. And it kind of harks back to like a childhood dream of like stuff collapsing all the time. But that's what it felt like. It felt like an internal collapse. And like that's what he says. He says my nervous system, you know, collapsing like buildings. And it's this total disintegration of self, really, you know. And it sparked by, probably, you know, it sounds like something that was really wonderful, but how it can change, and the change is never going, you know, doesn't necessarily follow any kind of plan, but how it changes you physically and emotionally, and it's not just a matter of like, oh, pull yourself up, you know, pull yourself out of it. I like, give me your body. I gave her my heart. Love was diseased right from the start. Something was missing. Lust makes you blind. Sins of the flesh come back to haunt you. I think I've used that line, sins of the flesh, in one of the few lyrics I've written. The flesh was blackened to the deepest nerve. That's what I wrote.
Where's that in? Which song's that from then?
God, it's in Stirring Back Return, a sort of double title song I presented to the band around the time of Superstition. And it came out on the B side of one of those, maybe Kiss Them or something. And Stirring Back was about seeing my face in the window of a train. You know, and I thought, oh God, that's my mum, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then it kind of musically segued into what became Stirring Back, what became Return, which I wrote in a kind of dismal place when I'd run away from London, always like running away. I thought that was the answer, running away.
It always is the answer, mostly at the beginning, and then it becomes really not the answer, you know.
But that lust makes you blind and sins of the flesh, you know, coming back to haunt you. It was like, that was my kind of familiar territory, you know. I just, you know, when I'd got to the point where I just didn't care who, you know, what, who I was maybe hurting or what it was I was, you know, what state I was getting into. And it was that. It was always like some kind of lusting for something. You know, Iggy puts it well, like lusting for life. But, you know, lusting for life doesn't mean you're kind of skipping around being happy all the time. It's lusting for like every aspect of life and every dark nook and cranny of it.
Right.
It was lusting for like the dark side, maybe, you know. And it's really kind of out of character.
Well, it is for you, because you seem a very
easygoing. Happy-go-lucky.
Happy-go-lucky kind of person.
Ooh, that's in another lyric. Not mine.
Happy-go-lucky.
Happy-go-lucky chap, always dressed in black.
That's me, actually. Happy-go-lucky chap, always dressed in black.
Well, I'll carry on with the lyric, you know, because this is the part where Bobby's, like, you know, almost free-forming. Just tell us your story. I knew you were trouble. That's why I claimed you. I love that line. That's why I claimed you. Now I only stare at you. It's like putting somebody on the pedestal, you know. Hate or despise me, you've always denied me. They are real cutting lines. Sick of your infamy, tired of you leaving me. You couldn't have left, chasing me around. Love like a ghost, watch your disease.
Wow.
It's, we love that line, don't we? I mean, on the back of all that real, really deep cutting stuff, you get hopping and bopping. I was waiting for you to go second on that line, Lol.
Flipping and flopping and hipping.
There we go. But then he goes on, brought like a bone ghost at home, living the cracks, hole in my life. And then we get that kind of curious, lost in an energy zone, consciousness, conscious of stone. I could never say that when I was trying to slip. And I realized that Mr. Jackknife Lee has like slipped in this answer and call thing there, which is really interesting. So you get like an echo, you know, almost a pre-echo of what Bobby's about to say. He's very good at that. Broke like a bone, ghosted at home, stuck like a knife, live till no life. It's a very powerful lyric that it touches me deeply. And it's not like as if it's an absolute. It's not one episode or anything like that. It's not even maybe
No, it's not full of absolutes. It's like it's painting a more of an impressionistic picture of something, which is how you get to know the real thing, you know, a lot of the time, you know.
Yeah, and somebody saying it for you gives you a kind of another, a sort of a one step removed, almost safe space to go, God, that's how I feel.
So in conclusion, it's an excellent lyric. Excellent lyric, and Bobby's an excellent lyricist, I think.
And then you get the brilliance of Jackknife Lee in his best Brian Eno mode, where he starts coming in with the hooting backing vocals, which are kind of mirroring the ghost at the home.
Yes.
Ghost at home. And that's all Jackknife's invention.
Very groovy. Very groovy.
Have you ever had a producer who's done, you know, stepped in like with vocal parts?
No. I don't think so. I think Jackknife's the first one that's actually done that. I don't remember Hedges ever doing any vocal.
No, Hedges, he'd never sing. No. He might hoot. I got him shouting on Feast. We got him shouting in the background somewhere. I could hear him laughing like Mad Gerald.
Yeah. And I don't recall Dirk either doing that. Or Phil. Phil could have done some stuff, but he didn't, I don't think, with us.
Just let me think now. The producer of Superstition is Stephen Haig. And Stephen Haig, who did like a lot of stuff with New Order as well. The completest fans around on Superstition, Kiss Them For Me, on the end, on the outro chorus, we've got these Kiss Them For Me, I May Be Delayed, and you got this beautiful rising back, I may be late, and that's Stephen Haig, because it arrived one morning and went in and thought,
wow.
I don't remember her doing that. And he wouldn't allow you to hear him doing it. And I get the same feeling that's what Jackknife does. He locks himself in the studio.
Yeah, I think so. So was that an actual lyric that was written into it and he decided he'd sing it, or was it a lyric he added to
it? No, he said, Kiss Them For Me, I May Be Delayed was the lyric. And he sang, I May Be Late, I think it was. He could say, I May Be Delayed. It may be that.
Oh.
Just mirroring the actual line. But it was kind of multi-tracked, and he would probably slow the tape down or the digital thing, and then so he'd get like pitched much higher than any register we were going to achieve.
That's so funny. I had a dream last night that I was recording tracks, and I decided to sing on them. But I'd pitched my voice down really low, so I sounded like Lee Marvin, you know, and like I was born under a wandering star.
Weren't we going to try that on one of these tracks on the album? I think we did a bit of Ian Jury, didn't we? Like, wasn't sex and drugs and rock and roll? It was something like
sweats and boots and cigarettes, sweats and drink and cigarettes.
Curious Creatures is created and presented by Lol Tolhurst and Butchie.
Producer, Joe Wong.
Producer and audio designer, Dan Didier.
Executive producer, Mark Cates.
Associate producer, Sophie Wild.
Digital marketing, Margie Taylor.
Art and logo design, Justin Thomas Kay.
Music production, Jackknife Lee.
Curious Creatures is on the web, and you can access us at www.curiouscreaturespodcast.com.
And you can reach us on Instagram and Facebook at Curious Creatures Official, Twitter at Cura Creatures.
To find more of the best music podcasts, visit doubleelvis.com or follow at doubleelvis on Instagram or at doubleelvis on Twitter.
Curious Creatures is a production of LXB LLC 2023.